Hello, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Today we're in the category of hearing God, and I'm going to share a recording with you about my hearing from God in what has been, without a doubt, the most scandalous, the most controversial, the most misunderstood aspect of my ministry. And that is how my Father in heaven chose to use the providence of causing me to see a series of numbers that I ultimately discovered God was often using to point me to a passage of scripture that remarkably had the precise answer or warning or guidance or instruction or correction for what I was going through in my life at that time. There has been nothing next to my second spouse's apostasy that has had more of a scandalous, evil suspicion cast upon it than this. I've been labeled a Satanist. I've been called someone terribly heretical, deceived of Satan, a numerologist, you name it. It's one of the last great arguments that people try to use to dismiss me as nothing more than a lunatic. I made a message after a number of people would begin listening to my journal recording series. Pretty much the start of RelentlessHeart.com was the Trusting God in the Wilderness series. People inevitably would find themselves confused, recognizing the truth of God coming out of my mouth, seeing that God was clearly with me based on answered prayers like the 777-day miracle divorce, etc., but yet left scratching their head over this numbers issue. What's Michael with these numbers? I mean, when I go to Google, it says numbers are numerology and we have angel numbers and this new age stuff and this is the occult and what is going on? How can this be? What is with this mix? And people were left naturally very confused. So I made a message that you're getting ready to hear. And a gentleman about 2 or 3 years ago contacted me. He said, Michael, I love your ministry. I love your messages. I recognize the truth of Christ in your mouth. And I see God at work in your life. But I am so terribly confused and upset about the numbers thing. I just find it almost impossible to swallow or understand. And I pointed him to this message that you're about to hear today, which is about hearing God. And about the numbers with some warnings and some encouragements and some basic biblical reasoning to help him understand this. When he listened to the message that you're about to hear, he replied back to me and said, Michael, if I were you and it were me, I would put this audio recording on every single page on your website. And he said this because it completely erased all of his fears and his concerns, and it helped him to really understand, wow, I think God really is doing this with Michael. Now, let me just say for the record that I'm making this recording to you the day after I put out the video called Why I Stopped Following Michael Criswell and Jesus about Taylor. It's really remarkable and a poignant reminder for me to tell you that it was at the bottom of Taylor's description in her video that she said, if Michael will stop following numbers, I'll take down this video. Not realizing, because to her it seems illegitimate, it seems like deception, not realizing that she's basically saying, Michael, if you will shut up the mouth of God in the way that he chose to speak to you, if you'll ignore him, I will take my video down. I would never do something like this, no matter if every single person on the planet turned away from me. When you know that you know that you know you've heard from God, you obey him. So brothers and sisters, I want to be clear that I don't have to prove to you any more than you have to prove to me that God is speaking to you however he wants. But let us be really clear. I have no right to tell God how he can or cannot speak to you. I have heard from many people over the years where God has spoken to them in ways that he hasn't spoken to me. And they in turn see that God has spoken to me in a way that he hasn't spoken to them. I have no right to validate or to judge how God chooses to speak. But what I can do as a minister and say, okay, if that's the speaking voice of the Lord, even though I don't recognize that as a way God has spoken to me, even though that could be a deception, I will at least know that Jesus said, Wisdom is eventually proved right by her children. I can watch that person's life and see what is the outcome of that voice in their life. Does it lead to more Christ-likeness, more denial of self, more cross-carrying, more exalting of Jesus Christ, less of a worldly disposition, more of a heavenly mindset, more fruitfulness in their life, more holiness in their life? Now, if that is what I see as a fruit of that voice, then I would begin to say, hey, although I don't recognize that voice, I recognize that fruit. That fruit is what Jesus Christ preached in the Bible. Now I can say, hey, Lord, it's your business. You get to speak to whoever you want, however you want, whenever you want. Brothers and sisters, the fact is that there's not a person on the entire planet, not Taylor, not JP and JC, not any people, not a John MacArthur, nobody in the world can point to a scripture verse that says God cannot, will not, has not ever spoken to a person using numbers with the inner witness of the Holy Spirit to point them to a living word for application in their life. You cannot find that verse of scripture. On the contrary, I can point you to Job 33:14, which says God speaks now one way and now another, though man may not perceive it. But you cannot point to any scripture and say God cannot, not ever, will he ever use numbers to do that. And then the other issue I want to remind people of, people get caught up on this name called numerology, forgetting that perhaps there is a satanic counterfeit numerology, but that God himself, if you really see it clearly, is a numerologist. He was the first numerologist. He started out the whole world being a numerologist. The very fact that there are 7 days in a week and 7 days of creation and what the number seven means to God, completion, divine perfection, is numerology. It is a number that has meaning. And if you look at the scripture, you can't find a single event that you love or that you learned in Sunday school or that you read to your children that doesn't have a number associated to it based on the amount of time or the precise date in which it took place. And there are numbers all throughout: 150, 300, 40, 7, 3, 12, 24, all over the Bible, and then some. Just about every one of them has meaning behind it. That is the very foundation of numerology. Keep that in mind as you listen to this, and let's all humble ourselves and say, hey, I maybe don't understand the way God seems to be speaking to someone else. I don't get this numbers thing, and I know there's a counterfeit out there, but hey, I'm going to look at Michael's life at the end and judge a tree by its fruit and let wisdom be proved right by her offspring. If you'll do that, it will save a lot of headache, but we must realize we don't have any right to tell God how he can speak in my life or in your life. He gets to speak exactly what he wants, how he wants, when he wants, or if he wants. He's God. He's sovereign. Let him be. All throughout my story, you can see examples of God doing this. You know, sometimes it's caught on video where Lisa and I are sitting outside of a coffee shop in Cocoa Beach, Florida, called Juice and Java, and you hear me tell the story, and though he slay me of the 14:14 that God showed me, do not move forward, don't reply to Carrie's motion for contempt. That's Exodus 14:14, that I can sit still and the Lord will fight for me. And if I don't, and I haven't heard God correctly, I'm going to end up in big trouble, contempt of court. And you can see example after example of this in my life, where soon after, you see in the next video, oh, amazing, the court shut Carrie down today. We didn't have to do anything. So for somebody to come against 14 years of evidence, experience, digital, audio, video, you know, captured evidence of this happening, not realizing that every single decision in my life, where we go, how we get there, when we go, sending the tiny house to New Zealand, telling Lisa she's to be my wife, selling this, getting rid of this, taking the year off for the entire ministry, not replying to the court for Carrie's this, not going to court on this day, all of it. 14 years, brothers and sisters, 100% of everything I've done has been a result of the Holy Spirit of God giving me inner witness to a passage of scripture that he led me to see multiple times in his own way. He knows how to get me to recognize it, that I then obeyed once I had the inner witness. The inner witness is the most important thing for you to understand about Michael Criswell and Seeing Numbers. Probably second only to do not try to emulate me in this. If it begins to happen for you, ask the Lord to lead you in it. Don't be upset if God doesn't speak to you this way. Don't compare. Don't worry about it. I've seen many testimonies of people being spoken to by God in ways He never has spoken to me. And I just have to say, wow, Lord, I might even be a little jealous of that. Like the guy in India who gets woken up every single morning at 4 a.m. to hear the audible voice of God. I say, Lord, You don't speak to me that way, but that's okay. He speaks to me this way. And if you'll hang around to the end of this recording, at the end, I'm going to put an example that just happened to Lisa and I just a few weeks ago. This is how we live. This is how God chose to deal with us. If you have a problem with it, you have to go to the Lord. But I'm going to give you an example of how Lisa and I were called by God to leave Lake Tahoe. You'll see an incredible example, and it's just a few weeks old, of how God uses numbers in our life. And I'll just save that for the very end as just another recent example. May God bless you as you listen. Please don't trip over this. Please recognize a tree by its fruit. Please let wisdom be proved right by her children. God bless you as you listen. Here's the recording, which was first published on my website on December 21st, 2019. Hello, my dear brother or sister in Christ. This is Michael Criswell. Welcome to RelentlessHeart.com, and thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this program, Trusting God Through the Wilderness. My friends, I want to put out a disclaimer right up front here that I think will help remove a possible stumbling block that some people will inevitably find when they're listening to these recordings. There is something that is exceptionally bizarre about my walk with God, and I'd like to address it right up front. It is bizarre not only to many people who hear the story third party, but it's actually quite bizarre even to me. But now after 10 plus years of this experience, it has become something normal. It's something that I no longer argue with, and it's something that has proven itself to be of God by the fruit that it has produced in my life. All throughout these recordings, you're going to hear me mention numbers. And unfortunately, I didn't do a very good job of explaining at any one point in time kind of the history of the numbers, such that a person now coming to these recordings may find themselves going, man, what in the world is this crazy whack talking about? This sounds like numerology. This sounds like something satanic. This sounds like a terrible deception. And I really honor people who would come and say that. That is a very good thought to have. It's very, very important to be skeptical of these kind of things. And anytime we see something new or weird or extra biblical, we need to pay very close attention to it and stand on guard against it. So let me just quickly help you put your mind at rest. First of all, let me just say point blank that the way God has used numbers in my life, which you're going to hear, it's going to be very difficult for you to deny this when you hear the experience of recorded evidence of this and literally 10 years of evidence that God is indeed speaking to me this way, this unique way. But one thing I want you to understand right off the bat is that God is not using some weird, bizarre, extra biblical way of communicating to Michael. He's using His word to communicate to Michael. What is weird is the choice of His providence. The method that He's used is this bizarre thing of God using numbers. Now, one time in my mind, I sat back and I said, you know, Father, it does kind of make sense. We live in a digital age where we are surrounded now by numbers. And that would be a very easy way for you to leverage those numbers to have them be signposts along the way for perhaps a scripture verse you're wanting to show somebody. Now, let me say this. After 10 years of doing this and now probably at least 5 or 6 years of testifying about this particular method that God has used to direct me to His word, I have heard from people around the world who've also had this experience, albeit not to this depth. This is what would be considered an extreme case. And I want to share with you just a little bit of God's heart and why I know that Father has done this with me. I'm not saying that God won't do this with somebody else. Perhaps there's people that have experienced this long before I have, and I've never heard of them. but I do think that God has done something exceptional in my case. I've never in my life ever heard of anybody being shown, you know, the number 777 over 100 times before he ends their divorce that they never wanted to begin with on the 777th day. From the day that it was filed, you received the divorce papers on, you know, there's been 777 days that have passed. And then God leads you to read page 777 in your Bible, where you see in the introduction to the Psalms, page 777, where it explains God is the ultimate executor of justice. And when no earthly court can render justice, God can. And so there was the whole story of what had happened in my divorce. Not to mention the fact that the way this whole numbers thing started out is bizarre and incredible all in the same way. Father started showing me the number 666. I'm not going to give you the whole story here because you'll hear it in other recordings. But God started showing me the number 666, and he did it so consistently and so prevalently that I was able to use this as a 100% prophetic indicator of evil that would come and strike, usually within 24 hours after I saw the 666. Now, again, this isn't something that I'm testifying on my own. There is not a single person in my life, friend, family, or even foe, who hasn't spent some time with me that cannot validate that what I'm saying is true. Everybody has seen it. My wife, my parents, my family, my own mother would sit on recording as an unbeliever as part of my story, trusting God in the storm. And she would tell the story about how, you know, when Michael started talking about seeing numbers, we would kind of roll our eyes and we're like, this is kind of really weird and way out there. But she said when he started seeing the number 666, he'd come in and say, guys, I saw 662 three times today. And she said, there it would be. It wouldn't be a couple of hours. And there'd be a knock at the door. There'd be a letter from an attorney in the email, or there'd be some hateful piece of mail or a text that came in. And she said, and we saw this happen over and over and over again to where we had to admit, mind you, this is an unbeliever saying this. My mom was not born again. Saying we had to admit that God was indeed speaking to our son in a way we'd never heard of. I mean, you can't deny the evidence. You can do all you want and say, this is weird. It doesn't make sense. It's extra biblical. But let me ask you a question. In Job 33:14, it says, God speaks now one way and now another, though man may not perceive it. If Moses went around telling everybody God was speaking to him through a burning bush, we would say, man, this is weird. This is bizarre. You're way out there. If Balaam shows up and tells us that God has spoken to him through a donkey, we're going to go, man, you are really out there. You are really messed up. You're insane. But for some reason, pleasing and known only to God, he has chosen some very unorthodox, bizarre ways of communicating his word, his message to people throughout the ages. I honestly think the use of numbers is not nearly as bizarre as God speaking through a burning bush. It's not nearly as bizarre as God making a donkey speak in a human language so that a human can understand it. Those things are far more bizarre than this consistent, believable providence of God to simply show me a number at a wonderful point in time, at the exact moment that I need to hear a particular guidance on a subject. Listen, the Bible says God comes near the brokenhearted and the contrite. The Bible says God takes delight in the humble and he teaches them his way. The Bible says in Psalm 25:12, who is the man who fears the Lord? God will instruct him in the way chosen for him. Psalm 32:8 is a promise to counsel us, to guard us, to watch over us, to lead us in his truth. So brothers and sisters, I really believe the reason why God chose to do this with me is a number of reasons. Number one, it's in direct proportion to the humility that I showed Father, that I got very serious and I got all in with God. I did not hold anything back. I said, Father, even if you need to take my own family from me, on October 30th of 2009, I went all in. I didn't hold anything back. There was no fingers crossed behind my back. I said, God, if you need to take everything, take everything. So there was a total commitment to a death to self. There was the commitment on my part to put myself up on the altar. It then becomes God's responsibility to kill that sacrifice and burn it up. And he did so successfully and continues to do so over all these years later. I continually take up my cross and deny myself. So in direct proportion to my humility and my desire to know God's will and to know God's way, God began to intervene on my behalf, just as all throughout the promises of Scripture, we see God acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. God, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I mean, there is so many promises in Scripture that say a man or a woman of God is going to be blessed with the presence and guidance of God. He will teach them in his way. And so there's the first thing. The second thing is I believe that Father Saul, number one, I'm getting a late start. I squandered a tremendous amount of my life in pursuit of the world as a, quote, good Christian. And so there was going to be a need for God to expedite this training and get me to his heart, to his truth faster. And thirdly, I believe it's because I am not a very educated man. I do not have a great capacity in my mind to learn and study and read deep and to retain a lot of information. It's very difficult for me to retain the information. The idea of sitting down and reading the Word of God when I first got started was very intimidating to me. Even to this day, sometimes I find it to be such a massive amount of information and pieces of who God is. It's very difficult to assimilate in a mind like mine. Some men are able to read the Word of God and retain very, very well massive amounts of the Word of God. I cannot. I've heard of people who've memorized, like David Koresh. Unfortunately, he's a bad example, but he memorized the entire book of Psalms word for word. I know there's another famous woman minister who did the same thing. I know Madame Guillot almost had memorized all of them. And I think to myself, how is that possible? That's like a miracle. That's like be like walking on water for somebody with my brain. So I really believe that God's grace has risen in my life to surpass the level of my weakness. That in proportion to my weakness has been a greater portion of God's grace. And I think anybody who can see this principle will recognize it was not only true for Paul, where Paul is told of the Lord, you know, that my power is made perfect in your weakness, but this is something that all saints of God can testify to. So I really want to make sure that you do not stumble on this, but that you actually take delight in this, because here is the most amazing thing about this, okay? God has used hundreds of numbers to guide me to scriptures. You're going to hear them in these recordings. But one thing that is so unbelievably remarkable about this is that by God using these numbers, please get this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by God using these numbers and by me recording all of it, you're able to see, praise God Almighty, you're able to see the exact heart of God on umpteen hundreds of different scenarios, subjects, stories, scenes, and events. It's like God caused me to capture all the massive details of my walk with God. And then from all of eternity and from the heavens above, God with his pointing finger in every single event, in every stumble, in every dark moment, in every mountaintop moment, in every ministry opportunity, in every attack from Satan, in every moment of deception, God reaches through the clouds, the veil that separates us from him, and points to his own word and says, this is what I feel about that. Brothers and sisters, the enormity of value that I have captured in these recordings from that, this is the most important part that I'm telling you right now. It is not so much what happened. It is not so much what I did. It is not so much what I prayed. It is not so much even the outcome of God. It is to learn and know the Father's heart. God is reaching through in that moment and showing me a 333 and saying to me by the Holy Spirit, Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. It is when my parents have turned against me and every time they turn around, they're saying something off color, off mark, persecuting me, discounting me, questioning me, calling my sanity into question. God points to a 444 and leads me by the Spirit to John chapter 4, verse 44, where Jesus himself testified that a man is without honor in his own hometown or in his own country. It's when I'm struggling over what to do with my work life. Am I to serve God full-time in ministry, trusting him for finances, or am I to go back and make a living for myself and save myself out of the difficulties? And God reaches through from the heavens, through the veil separating us and him, and points to with a 222 in his hand, Mark 222. And God says, "This is my heart for you, Michael, and in this situation. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins, for if he does, the wine will burst the skins will be ruined, the wine will pour out, both of them will be ruined." No, a man pours new wine into new wineskins. At each of these hundreds of numbers that God used, incidentally, he started with very basic numbers. They were all a series of the same number over and over again, so that I began to learn and recognize that God was speaking to me. And then the numbers got more complicated. And again, if you were with me, you couldn't deny this. You'd be driving down the road with me, and all of a sudden you'd see a 313, and then we'd pull up to a gas station and the gas would be 313, and then we'd buy something and it would be $33.13, something like that. You would see this to where you would go, "Wow, this is not a coincidence. And this is what I lived and experienced for years." And then what would happen is I would take these numbers, and I knew that God was pointing me to scripture passages. So I would go to the Bible and I would begin to prayerfully go, "Father," and I'd be so eager to receive this word from God. I'd be like, "God has spoken to me. God has told me what his word is, what his heart is, what his thinking is on this matter." So I would eagerly run to the scripture and start going through, you know, Genesis chapter 3, verse 33, chapter 33, verse 3. And I just look through each of the numbers, and many times they'd have nothing to do. And then all of a sudden I would come upon that particular scripture, and the Holy Spirit, 1 John 2:27, the anointing that is in me, he gives me light on what that word is, brothers and sisters. He gives me meaning and understanding. If it wouldn't have been for the Holy Spirit, when I came across Mark 2:22, it wouldn't have done anything for me. I wouldn't have known it. So all throughout these recordings, you are going to literally get to hear and experience God's hand reaching through to his humble, worm-like, unworthy servant and pointing with his finger and highlighter in hand the very passage of scripture that marks what his heart is on that matter. When I'm struggling and God leads me and says, James 5:11, "We consider blessed those who have persevered, for you have heard of Job's perseverance and what the Lord finally brought about, for he's full of mercy and compassion." And there's literally hundreds. So here's what I want to leave you with as a lesson to put in your back pocket as you travel through this journey. You're not here to simply be a voyeur and to live your life vicariously through me. You're here to learn of the Father's ways and to be encouraged that if God did it to me or through me, he could do the same thing through you or to you. That if Satan struck and God delivered, when Satan strikes you, God will deliver. That when you pray and God has heard that prayer offered in faith, he will answer your prayer as well. That when you hear me wanting to quit and give up and I don't, that you won't quit and give up when you want to. But when you go through this story, it's the opportunity for you to learn, and please be blessed. Don't let it be a stumbling block just because God is using some unique method of his providence to point me to a scripture verse. Instead, recognize a tree by its fruit. That's all I'm asking you, is to recognize a tree by its fruit. I would challenge anybody, and I say this with most humility, because only God has done this, not me. I challenge you to find a regular Joe, just a regular Joe out there on the street, a regular layperson like me that has more evidence of the hand of God in their life than what you will see in here in these recordings. I challenge you, just a regular person, not some big shot out there. I'm a nobody. This is how you can know that God is with me. You show me somebody that has seen the hand of God move more on their behalf, do more miracles, provide more rivers of living water, just a regular Joe like me that has now touched tens of thousands of people all around the world on a regular basis for years. Okay? You will know a tree by its fruit. Jesus Christ said in Luke 7, wisdom is proved right by her children, her offspring, her actions. So you will see, even if you come at this initially skeptical, if you'll stick with the story and you'll see the outcomes. And by the way, you'll see times when I didn't hear God correctly. It can't always just be a number. It's not just about seeing a number. I see numbers every day when I go out and they mean nothing to me. The only ones that mean something to me is when the Holy Spirit highlights it in my heart. God shows it to me more than two or three times, maybe in a day. And then all of a sudden I see the message in my heart. When I'm led to the word, it all comes together like a grand finale at the fireworks show. And all of a sudden it's like truth. And I now know what Father says to do. Brothers and sisters, every single outcome that you're going to hear in this story, almost all of it was done as a result of God teaching me his word when I sit there early in the mornings and God leads me to a passage. Many times he used a devotional and he would give me a timely word for a devotion. But much of the biggest, most extraordinary parts of my story have all resulted of me following the scriptures that God led me to by pointing at them with a number. And again, biggest point, I pray that God helps you consciously understand what I'm saying to you right now in your heart. This is an unprecedented opportunity. I know of nothing like this in the history of Christianity that I can think of that's ever been recorded to this extent, that shows a hand of God this visibly what his heart is on every matter, to the point where God can tell me of things that are going to happen in people's lives. You'll hear in some of these recordings before they happen. You can understand what God says to me about my mom's unbelief. You're going to get to hear the scriptures that God leads me to and what God tells me to do. You get to hear the journey that I make to India eventually that won't be in the trusting God in the wilderness experience, but that it carries on. And I walked into faith into my relationship with Persis and living in India, all by faith, all God guiding me with scriptures that he highlighted with numbers. That is an amazing opportunity to learn what does Father think, and you'll be able to identify with these situations you hear in these recordings, and you'll be able to say, ah, this is the word of God on that subject. If God's driving me to it, brothers and sisters, and saying, this is what I feel in this situation, it's very, very likely that's how he feels about it in your situation. Every single word that you and I need to live the life of life and peace and fullness in Jesus Christ is in the Holy Bible. But if you and I had to wait to turn to the right page, or if God had to wait for us to turn to the right page to give us that word for the day, well, we could be here a long time. So let's not shrink back in skepticism when God finds a way to open your Bible to that perfect page. It's no different than when you leave in the morning having just studied a verse of scripture, and on your way to the office or school, you see that passage written on a church building somewhere, or then you see it on a social media post somewhere that same day and you say, wow, that's bizarre. I've seen this scripture three times today. Brothers and sisters, that is very likely the providence of God moving to show you what his heart is for the situation you find yourself in right there. The only thing you're seeing different in mine is it's an accelerated amount and it's a very visible way of doing it. Thanks be to God who has revealed his heart on many matters through this story. Please don't take it for granted. Don't let Satan pervert it in your mind. You can look at Satan and say, sorry, Satan, you shall recognize a tree by its fruit. You shall recognize a tree by its fruit. People may say it's foolish. You know what the world says is foolish? A man dying on the cross for the sins of the world. But God says that is wisdom. That is his wisdom that makes foolish the wisdom of the world. Jesus Christ, his son, dying on a cross, shedding his blood. Well, this is just the most ridiculous, foolish idea anybody in this world's ever heard. Many of God's best ways seem foolish to the wise and learned, but they are the life of peace and the way of truth to the child who accepts them as the word of God. Before I end here, I want to put in two warnings. Number one, there is always a counterfeit of this. Satan has a tendency to counterfeit every single thing that God does, and all it has to be is one off for it to not be authentic and for it to lead to death rather than life. Remembering that a counterfeit $100 bill looks absolutely identical to a real $100 bill, except to the eyes of a expert or to a third party resource that helps us test and qualify if that's a real $100 bill. A counterfeit $100 bill, as sweet as it looks in your wallet, is extremely painful when you go to exchange it in for something, a valuable thing that you're after. And I tell you, the same is true of the Word of God. And we have to remember that Satan can quote scripture too. It's very, very important to remember that Satan can actually influence people that are under his captive control, either false ministers or people who even mean well, and he can quote a scripture to you in an effort to get you to believe that that's God's heart on a certain matter. So just because somebody or something can throw a scripture verse at you, that does not mean that is God's will for you. Jesus is the best example of this in Matthew 4. Satan quotes a scripture to him, tells him to throw himself down off of the temple, and that God will command his angels concerning him such that he will not strike his foot against a stone. This is Satan trying to tempt Jesus Christ to gain honor and followers for himself, and quoting directly from Psalm 91, albeit he just leaves out one sentence. Nonetheless, Jesus does not correct his quotation of the scripture. He refutes it with another scripture. And so here's the point. Be very, very careful about anybody throwing a scripture verse at you, and especially be very careful of anybody who tries to talk to you about numbers or even you seeing numbers. I see a lot of people who will post on comments and say, oh yeah, Michael, I see the number 89, or I see this number or that number, and you know, I found out it means this. Let me just tell you, as far as I'm concerned, if you find a number that has a meaning anything outside of scripture, you have found a counterfeit. This is a thing called angel numbers. This is New Age. This is mysticism. If you cannot show me what the meaning of a number is in some sort of a Jewish historical document, or more importantly, from the direct Word of God, if you can't show me the scripture verse that that number is pointing to, I'm not interested in hearing about your numbers. What you have is a counterfeit. And in the end, you're going to experience a lot of pain when you try to cash that in. I cannot warn you enough about this. The second thing I want to warn you about is be very careful. Don't follow my example in this. I did not follow anybody's example in doing this. This was something that God began to do with me, and I had to be confronted with it, whether I wanted to or not. Initially, I thought it was Satan harassing me. I thought all the 666s showing up everywhere was Satan harassing me, and it took me a long time to figure out that it was actually God warning me. And I had no way of escaping it. God was going to help me to see this. And then I was able to discern by the fruit, this indeed was of God. So be very careful. Don't try to emulate my faith in this. Don't go looking for numbers. I never look for the numbers. They just show up. The way it always worked was that God would show them to me multiple times. I'd see like three of a certain number in a very short period of time. And I'd go, wow, I'm seeing that number show up a lot. And all of a sudden, then it's like the Holy Spirit gives me utterance. Look it up. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit would move in my heart, remembering Philippians 2:12 and 2:13. 2:13, it says, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. So God can work in me to turn my head at just the right time to see a number. And God can work in me to say, look that up. It's a scripture verse. But be very careful. Don't try to emulate my faith in this. This isn't something I tried to do. I'm not going to teach people what these numbers mean other than what they meant for me. Another thing to be careful of, don't assume that if you are seeing a number, that it means the exact same thing as me. This is so important. Don't think that if all of a sudden you start seeing 333 everywhere, that God is trying to show you a Jeremiah 33:3. If you believe that God is using numbers to try to communicate to you, and brothers and sisters, it very well may be. If you believe and you're willing to be sensitive to God's speaking voice and his providence in my life, and it's very possible God may use this to try to communicate, but be very careful about assuming, Brother Michael talked about this. It's Jeremiah 33:3, or it's Hebrews 3:13, or whatever. Be very careful and make sure that it's the Holy Spirit who guides you to a passage of scripture. There have been times when I have found myself confused, and I saw numbers that seemed to contradict one another. And there's all kinds of lessons I've had to learn. I've been doing this for 10 years. Every day, God has spoken to me. I can only think of maybe a handful of days and especially they would be mostly in 2018 when God did not speak to me using numbers to give me guidance, okay? There's a man in India, I do not know his last name. His first name is Ravi. And this man, and I believe it, this man, God wakes him up every single morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and speaks audibly to Ravi every day. Now, you and I in the church today, we would go, oh no, this is weird. God doesn't speak audibly. I never heard of such a thing. And we want to immediately throw this out. But what does the Bible say? A tree is recognized by its fruit. So here's a man who, just like me, claims, and incidentally, he calls Father Daddy, just like I do a lot of times. And he's very passionate about his father. And he is woken up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning and God speaks audibly to him and gives him guidance for the day. And inevitably, when he goes and does what God asks him to do, when he shows up, exactly what God told him was going to happen happens. It's the exact same thing I'm experiencing. The difference is Father's not been pleased to speak to me audibly. That guy is probably more holy than I am. But for whatever reasons, God uses these numbers to guide me. And so I have that speaking voice of God literally daily. And again, brothers and sisters, I cannot tell you how much it's important to realize that if you doubt this, you have to doubt my entire ministry. You have to doubt my entire life. You have to throw away all of the results. You have to throw away all of the rivers of living water you've heard coming out of here. You have to throw it all away and chalk it all up to either delusion or Satan's deceptions. That's it. There is no other place to go with this. I am either one of the most deceived, delusional people you've ever heard of in your entire life, or perhaps I'm one of the more godly. There is no other way. There is no in between. And so you have to make the decision to choose on this. But I hear say to you, be very, very careful. Don't let Satan deceive you. He is a clever, clever schemer. And every single instance of a number that God has been pleased to show me always comes with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead me to the right scripture and illuminate it in my heart. May God richly bless you as you listen and learn of the Father's heart. And may it be that the Holy Spirit will give you illumination to these scriptures. And may the Holy Spirit help you to apply the teachings of God and the guidance of God in this series into your own life so they too can produce an abundance of life and peace as you continue to abide in Him. May God bless you richly as you continue to listen.
So here's that journal entry I promised in the beginning of this recording. This message you're getting ready to hear was recorded on January 10th, 2025 in South Lake Tahoe. I'm just coming back from a prayer walk on the Bear Trail, and I walk in and Lisa is just finishing up her exercise.
It is now 11:06. I've just walked in the door and Lisa and I have just had the most incredible thing happen.
Yeah.
So I walk in the door, you have three exercises left to go on your routine. Uh-huh. And then suddenly, even while you're doing your exercise, you start telling me, tell me what you told me.
So in prayer this morning, I only prayed about the deliverance. This is all I've prayed the last
few days.
Few times that you've like
gone out for prayer.
The 2 days previous, we've prayed together because we've had days off. But the day before that, you went for your prayer walk and I had my personal prayer time.
Right.
So today was exactly the same as a few days ago, where all I prayed for was for our deliverance. And I grabbed the iPad and I opened it up and it was 10:17. My prayer finished at exactly 10:17 and it did 3 days ago when I had the same type of morning as I did this morning in prayer. And it was exactly 10:17 when I finished my prayer 3 days ago, identical to this morning. And so I tell you this when you walk in the door.
And then suddenly I don't say anything. I just get my recording and I say, listen to this. And I should have just gone to the beginning of the recording, but I'd been out there in prayer, walking back and forth through all the things that you are. And when I finally grabbed my phone to hit record, it was 10:17. So my prayer ended at 10:17.
So did mine.
I grabbed the phone to record
exactly at 10:17.
My recording starts with me talking about how remarkable 10:17, that could be the Jeremiah 10:17, pack your bags, prepare to leave the land.
Wow, I just came out of prayer and I grabbed my phone to make a recording, which I have not done in a long time out on the trail. and it's 10:17. Perhaps Jeremiah 10:17, pack your bags and prepare to leave the land.
And then at the very end, I say, in the recording, the last thing I say is, I can't wait to see if anything comes of this 10:17.
So I'll leave it there for that. That was the other thing that we were really surprised by. And I'm wondering if the 10:17 time is going to come to anything.
Not even 5 minutes later, I walk in and you tell me about your prayer ending at 10:17.
Crazy.
So to me, right now, this is total confirmation. Let every matter be established by two or three witnesses that we are leaving this place. I don't know where we're going next.
It's funny because I just thought we would see 10:17. We did at Ben's place. Have you noticed that every time we've started to see 10:17 within a week or more of leaving the accommodation, that we always move to a different town?
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, I tell you what, that is incredible that you and I both ended our prayers apart from knowing it at exactly 10:17, and we both notice it. I'm sure you screen captured it. I did.
It's on the iPad.
Yeah, I screen captured mine too.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that is incredible.
I did the last one a few days ago, screen captured on my phone.
Yeah, so I think now we kind of know we're not going to be staying here. I think that's confirmation that he's moving us somewhere.